To all the ladies in the place with under some pressure, hit and step by Gilbert Brown. Who rock grooves and make moves with all the mommies. The back.
The old Gravedigger.
The back of the club, Mackin' Hall, my crew's behind me.
I mean, this guy was 345 pounds, and when you have a nickname like the Gravedigger, you're God.
And now, presented by Stadium View Bar, Grill, and Banquet Hall in beautiful Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Packer Report Podcast with Gilbert Brown. Here's your host, publisher of the Packer Report, Ross Uglum.
Believe me, sweetie, I got enough to feed the need. No need to be greedy. I got mad friends with Benzes. See notes by the layers. True to life.
What is up, Green Bay Packers fans? We are really excited to bring you another edition of the Packer Report Podcast with Gilbert Brown, brought to you by Stadium View Bar, Grill, and Banquet Hall. We've got a bi-week edition of the show here for you. We're going to go through a little bit of pop culture stuff, but we've also got the debut of hashtag Ask Gravedigger, which was a wild success on social media. We've got some awesome questions for you. But Gilbert, we ran a little short of time on the last show and we didn't quite get to everything. And we got to give the people what they want.
Absolutely, man. We got to give them what they want, what they need, what we can deliver. And I think since it's a bye week, man, I want to do a little Western homage. Is that the word? Is that how
you
say
it? Yeah, homage. Homage is kind of the way to say it, but I understand where you're coming from.
How do you spell that? Homage?
H-O-M-A-G-E.
Don't worry
about it. It looks like homage. You're right. Right. Yeah, not a lot of people know, but you're into Westerns. The Duke, is that your guy or Clint Eastwood? I mean, what kind of Westerns are we talking here?
I'm talking about them Westerns where your mama used to sit up and watch and you sitting at the table and most kids would be like, what is this? Like if I'm sitting there watching my Westerns and some of my kids in the room, you know, they got Blu-ray, right? Well, my kids call it Gray-ray. Most of my Westerns are black and white, but
sure.
I mean, everybody got a little love for the Western somehow, some way. And it's not just the movies, it's the TV Westerns. It's all of them, man. So I'm gonna give these people my top five Westerns of all times, maybe a couple honorable mentions and see what you think about them, Ugg.
All right. Yeah, go ahead. Cause you're I'm gonna be very honest with you. You are, not in my territory right now. This is not something that, and that's fine. We don't have to agree on everything. We, you know, but
Where are you from?
I am from the plains of North Dakota. So,
come on, man. They're gonna delete you from the plains of Dakota.
The thing too is my sister was a big time. She showed horses, so she was big into all that, and you wouldn't believe what some of those folks what kind of money goes into that, what kind mm-hmm. of time and effort and travel goes into showing horses. It's a big time deal, but kind of lay it down for the people here.
Okay, man. Now everybody know that John Wayne is the GOAT. Everybody knows that from black and white to the color, John Wayne is the GOAT. So you don't want to put the GOAT in your top five because everybody know who the GOAT is in this genre. Hopefully everybody understand that. But my top five TV Westerns of all times, number one is The Rifleman. You ever heard of him?
Yeah, I think I've heard of The Rifleman. Yep.
The Rifleman, his name was Lucas McCain. Okay. And Lucas McCain was played by Chuck Connors. Chuck Connors was an avid sportsman. I think he played on several sports teams. He might have played basketball and baseball, like basketball for the Celtics and baseball for, I want to say, the Yankees. I'm not for sure, but he was a good sportsman.
So here we go. He was in the NBA with the Celtics from 47 to 48, and then he was with the Chicago Cubs in 1951, and then he had a 40-year film and television career, best known as The Rifleman. So this is a renaissance man.
Oh, he was a bad man with that shotgun. I'm gonna tell you, he hit you across the lips with that thing, man. He was a bad man. Now, going to number two, everybody know this, man. It's the Lone Ranger.
Oh, sure.
Clayton Moore played the Lone Ranger. Now, also, there's another Western coming out, I think, this year with the guy that they say they patterned the Lone Ranger off of. His name was Bass Reeves, a black man. Do you hear me? They made the Lone Ranger off of a black man. Can you understand that?
Yeah, I'm following you. Clayton Moore and then Bass Moore. Reeves.
Bass Reeves. They said that's how they got to the Lone Ranger.
Okay.
And Bass Reeves was a bad man.
He was the first black deputy U.S. Marshal west of the Mississippi River. He worked mostly in Arkansas.
We dropping knowledge on him, Ugg. We dropping knowledge on him.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm dropping Wikipedia on him, but sure.
Anyway, Bass Reeves was so about the law, he even arrested his own son when he broke the law. Now, my number three pick is Gunsmoke. Gunsmoke. Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal Matt Dillon, who was played by James Arness. That show was on for 20 years.
Yep. Man.
20 years with the same folks. Well, Dennis Weaver left. That's when Burt Reynolds was on there. But, man, that was a show there, man. It is a show that stood the test of time.
Yeah, absolutely. Miss Kitty. CBS was who I'm trying to think if. Although I don't think you can. I'm trying to think if you can get Gunsmoke now.
It's everywhere. It's everywhere. Gunsmoke is everywhere.
Right. I was talking for more of our streamers here. You can get a 50th anniversary DVD box set. There was 17 seasons of Gunsmoke. But, you know, like I was saying, I don't know as though it's streaming right now. So it's interesting.
I'm pretty sure it's streaming somewhere. DVD, all that good stuff. Gray-Ray, as they say.
Yeah.
Gray-Ray, you can get it on Gray-Ray. But what was good about it is...
I gotta stop here for a shameless okay. plug. We've mentioned, you know, that this is the Packer Report podcast and that I am the publisher of Packer Report and... We've asked people to become VIP members, and part of becoming a VIP member is a subscription on us to CBS All Access. Guess where the only place you can stream Gunsmoke is? CBS All Access. That's called Synergy. That's called Synergy, and that was not planned. I want everybody to know that was not planned.
Nice plug.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Nice plug, my brother. Yeah. But also with this Gunsmoke, man, which is cool is that when I'm in my car and I got them long rides and XM radio, Radio Classics,
sure,
has Gunsmoke on there, which was played by, what was his name? Big heavyset guy, short guy, was Cannon on TV. What was his name? Oh, man, it'll come to me. I know you'll find it in your wisdom of finding stuff, Mr. Wikipedia. But number four is another show called Cheyenne. Cheyenne. The guy's name was Cheyenne Brody, played by Clint Walker. Clint Walker was about 6'5", 6'6", big old dude, man, and always found a way to help out the towns that he traveled in. It's a good show, man. I really like that show because to see a big man move like he did, and he played in a lot of different movies too, but Cheyenne Brody, when he played that, he was my man now.
Okay. And so we're on number five?
Number five is the Lawman. Lawman, his name is Dan Troop, played by John Russell. It is the craziest song when it comes on. It's like, Lawman, Law, man, crazy song.
I'll fast forward the song. I'll believe you.
But hey, it's a good show because he's the marshal of a town that he's trying to get the town back right. So he got a curfew at 10 o'clock and all the bar owners are pissed off because they got to shut down at 10 o'clock.
Sure.
They're trying to throw everything and get him messed up. So that's my top five of Westerns that I think y'all should need to check out. I want to see what they top five TV Westerns are.
Yeah, so, you know, get at the show. I'm at Ross Uglum. He's at Gilbert Brown on Twitter. Packer Report itself has a Facebook page. Gilbert has a Facebook page. Let us know. If you're a fan of Westerns, Gilbert wants your top five, or just drop us a line.
Top five TV Westerns. Yeah. Bro. Top five TV. I got a top five movies, too, but top five TV Westerns.
Do we have an update on Godzilla versus Kong? What have you been hearing from the people?
Man, look here. I'm so mad at them because we like almost 4 months away. I probably sound like a broken record.
Just looking for the trailer.
But I'm getting kind of mad. Yeah, man, I just need a trailer, man. I just need to see somebody getting choked out or something on the trailer. Something.
Yeah, stupid. I mean,
come on, man.
If you were a Star Wars guy, you'd get a trailer 18 months before the movie.
I know, man. I'm sitting up here, man. I'm talking all kind of mess, talking about how bad Godzilla going to beat him down, and I ain't got nothing to back me up. I got a lot of people on Team Godzilla now. I don't know what's going on with that Queen Kong hashtag.
Team Kong's, we're a little light. We're a little, we're underhanded. We're shorthanded.
Oh, my God.
It's a rough.
It's getting rough bad, man. It's getting bad. I think we need to call somebody up. I really do.
Just holler at the studio and say, hey, Gilbert's looking for a trailer.
Yeah.
Quit something, acting up. Man. All right. Yeah. Let's take a brief moment here to pay the bills. And but to do that, all we got to do is pretty much tell you the truth. And that's how much both Gilbert and I enjoy hanging out at Stadium View Bar, Grill, and Banquet Hall. And I've actually enjoyed all three phases. I've had a cocktail or two at the bar. The food's fantastic. Absolutely. I think I can't remember what I had over there. It was a special one day. I think they had even clam chowder one time for a lunch special. That was just awesome. I was sitting at the main bar. That was really good. And the Banquet Hall is something too, where, you know, they have
huge
big banquet hall. They have
huge
signings, Packers legends. I'm sure they do weddings. I'm sure they do dances. I'm sure, you know, they do a number of different things, trade shows. But it's a place that, as I've mentioned before, I used to hang out at Stadium View long before I got this job, long before I ever, you know, we ever agreed to do kind of this business venture with them. And it's just a place that I can't possibly endorse enough or suggest enough. I've always had a good time at Stadium View. How about you?
I think the most part, the good part about it is when you walk into Stadium View, you feel the atmosphere. I mean, oh my God. Last time we was there, I don't know. I'm a Crown Royal guy.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? I'm a Crown Royal guy. And they had two big chairs made from Crown Royal that me and Santana sat in. We had got a baby seat for Amon to sit in the middle. But we had the two big Crown Royal chairs. Oh, I wanted to just take them
Made out of the bag?
Oh, yes, it was crushed velvet type. Crown Royal accents everywhere, man, and one baby seat for Amon.
So, Bob, if you're looking for your Crown Royal chairs, they're gone.
I got them. Sorry, I got them. But other than that, man, like I said, the atmosphere is awesome. The people are awesome. The workers are awesome. They get you. They try to get to you as soon as they can to get what you want. And Amber over there is awesome. She does a great job setting up stuff for me, myself, Mark, Santa, whoever comes with me, and makes the whole deal pleasurable.
And that's a last thing I'll say about it too, is, you talk about atmosphere, and sometimes when beloved places, and I would say that, you know, Stadium View is a beloved place. Sometimes when beloved places do a major renovation like they did, they lose the soul, that they lose the atmosphere, and it becomes stale, and they didn't do it. They did such a good job, Bob, with that renovation and making that place updated and ready for future years of fun and drinks and food. And they just did such a good job of keeping the essence of Stadium View while making major equipment upgrades and space. And anyway, they just did a fantastic job, and we really appreciate their partnership with this show. Absolutely. All right. Hashtag Ask Gravedigger. We were looking for a way to create some content for y'all with this off season, with this bye week, with this 2 weeks between games. And I think we struck gold because we had some absolutely phenomenal questions from the folks all on Twitter at hashtag Ask Gravedigger. And so that's what we're going to do. We're gonna ask Gilbert what's going on. So first from Zach on Twitter, Zach wants to know, if you ever get a craving for the old Gilbert burger, and if you guys don't know what the Gilbert burger is, look it up on Google.
Do I ever? Man, that's like going back home. I usually get me a Gilbert burger at least once a month. At least
what's
once
on
a
it?
Month.
And for those who don't know, what's on it?
Well, what's on it is if you was to get a double Whopper, okay, let's say you got a double Whopper. Now it's a double Whopper on steroids, because then you got to add another piece of meat. You got to add more cheese, more tomatoes, more onions, more lettuce, more mayonnaise, more ketchup. It is a big old sloppy burger. That which really brought claim to fame was, you know, those Mondays after the game, we was used to sit up there and watch film, and we would get hungry as I don't know what. So I would go to the Burger King on Oneida and I'd get the boys some burgers. And you know what the funny part about it is? Them DBs ate more than the defensive linemen did. Oh my God. I mean, I'm like, come on, man. We call them short fat daddies because they would come and eat up all the hamburgers. Like, come on, man. Y'all didn't put in on this?
Yeah, it's just before five. but I think burgers might have got put on the menu for the Uglin family tonight. I am a little bit. I'm gonna try not rush through the rest of the show because I'm hungry. We're gonna you know, give everybody's question the appropriate amount of time here. Okay. Jared wants to know kind of your area of expertise here, big man. What are your thoughts on the defensive line? What are they doing well, and where are some areas that they could improve? And I know it's about the scheme.
Yeah, it definitely. That's what it's about. It's always about the scheme, you know, and not saying that the Smith brothers don't belong in that scheme of what I would like to see, because to me, them two are strong enough to be legitimate pass rush, run stuff, and defensive ends. The way they look, the way they get off the ball and stuff like that. To me, the defensive line that they have right now, which is the Smith brothers and Kenny Clark, and then whoever they add in at the time, to me, they're good. They're good. I mean, but you got to understand where our problems is when the run game comes to town. It's just that I think we're undersized at times because they get up on our linebacker so fast to block him off, wall him off. We need at least two or three linebackers back there because, you know, it's in the box. If people don't know what the box is, that's between the tackles, 5 yards back, 5 yards front, inside that box. You got to put, against the run, as many guys as you can in that box to stop the run. And sometimes we don't have that many guys in the box to stop the run, so because of our scheme. So sometimes we get outgunned sometimes when it comes to a running game, especially when you're going against a premier back and a good offensive line. So, I mean, we got the weapons. I just think we need to if you're playing chess, you got to move your men a certain way to stop that offensive line from doing what they usually do.
Yeah, I think that makes sense, and that's a big, you know, they're so concerned with the pass that sometimes they're willing to just kind of concede the run. And I understand that a little bit, you know, just from the strict, you know, mathematics part. If they're averaging 4 yards a carry and 9 yards a throw, well, you want them carrying it. But I think they overdo it a little bit. You know, I think they could commit a little more to the run, especially on early downs. The other teams in 21 personnel.
Yeah.
I want to see three big uglies. And, you know, four linebackers. I want to see the base package. I want to see the big guys. And I might even want to see Adrian Amos drop down and play a little linebacker. I want to count on Jair and Kevin King and Tremont Williams to hold up on first down if it's play action so that they can shut down the run a little bit. I'm with you, Gilbert. I do think they overcommit to the pass a little bit. All right, this is the big elephant in the room. This is the 800-pound gorilla. This is what everybody's talking about. Myles Garrett, everybody's seen it by now. We're not breaking any news. He tackled, we'll say late, Mason Rudolph, tackled him late. Rudolph then, while he's on the ground, visibly and obviously tries to take Garrett's helmet off. They get picked up. They're still jawing. They're still fighting. Garrett rips Rudolph's helmet off and hits him with it. Then, you know, Marquise Pouncey comes to Rudolph's defense, and ultimately Larry Ogunjobi gets a game. Rudolph gets fined. Pouncey gets 3 games, and Garrett is going to be out for the rest of the season, including if they are in the play. And the Browns ain't making the playoffs, but the league just wanted to be clear that he was also ineligible for the playoffs. The question, though, Gilbert, that we got here was about kind of your reaction and specifically what you would have done if he was your teammate. So we've got from Joe here, Joe Hetwer. She wants to know, what do you think of Miles's actions from last night? And what would you say if he were your teammate? So you're not a Steeler, but in this case, you're a Brown.
Eek. Is that what? Eek. Yuck. Yuck. Hey Joe, it's unacceptable, man. I mean, you got to look at both sides of it, but what Mr. Garrett did was unacceptable. I mean, I lose my cool. I lose my temper. I mean, whatever, but once you swung that helmet and hit that man in the head, you lost your right to play football. And the way they see it, they they did it for the whole year, which I have no sympathy for that. I mean, he could have maimed that guy, man. I mean, if he'd hit him right, he could have maimed him.
The football helmet's 6 pounds. Put him out. A brick is 5.
Yeah. I seen a little bit about it, about other people say, well, look what he was trying to do to him. I know. I see that. But did he swing a helmet and hit him in the head? You see what I'm saying? It's consequences to everything you do. And everybody's not perfect. And everybody can lose their cool. But once he grabbed that helmet, I mean, I was just watching it. And then you see him swing. Oh, my God. No. Unacceptable. I can't condone that. I'm one of those players where you do it the right way in between the lines at all times. And that's how you gain respect from your peers, man. You cannot do that, because if he'd have hit that guy the right way, we would have really been talking about something totally different. Luckily, this little quarterback got a hard head, and he had guys backing him up. But if he was my teammate, I would walk up to him and tell him, I said, man, that's unacceptable.
And credit Baker Mayfield, because Baker, being the quarterback, is the guy that had to do the post-game interview. And he did not stick up for his teammate. I mean, he said it was unacceptable. You know, he said a lot of platitudes, like everybody makes mistakes and things like that. But he basically said there's no place for it in the game, which he's darn right. I mean, he's exactly right. But at least he didn't go out and stick up for Myles Garrett and say that it was okay. This is not an ask grave digger question. What's the angriest you ever got out there on the field, and what did that result in? Did you ever get flagged?
I don't think I ever got a unsportsmanlike conduct flag because offensive and defensive linemen, you know, them are the guys that we're sitting up here and we're fighting and they're holding and, you know, we spitting on each other and talking about this, that, and the other. But we did it. You do it. See, nowadays, man, there's so many cameras out there. If you did anything wrong, they're going to catch it on camera. That's just how the game is nowadays. You can't do the things like what we used to do back in the day because they're going to catch you. And for that instance right there, I mean, his was just blatantly out in the open. I'm going to break your head open type stuff, man. So, I can't have no sympathy for him, man. I bet you he knew he was wrong as soon as he swung that.
I mean, you're exactly right. What if he would have knocked him out? You know, I mean, it would be just a completely different conversation, I think, that we're having today.
He might have been done for a long time.
Absolutely. All right. Our friends at the Packer Ranter, for people that don't know, it's kind of insane, but it was actually my first ever published work, basically, about the Packers. It's way, way a long time ago in a galaxy far away. I wrote something for the Packer Ranter, and I've been friends with those guys ever since. And they want to know, very seriously, Gilbert, what is your favorite Keanu Reeves movie?
Everybody gonna want you to say what is it? What's that one where he's doing
Matrix. Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
I ain't getting into that.
No Bill Point Break. Ted.
No, there you go. Point Blank Break. But my favorite is this new one, John Wick. Man, oh my god. Oh yes, he lays you down, baby. He leaves no witnesses. None.
Yeah.
You mess with his dog, he's going to get you, man.
All right.
I love that movie.
Back to, I don't know, maybe a little bit more serious, but our guy Matub wants to know your favorite player to tackle back in the day and your least favorite player to tackle back in the day.
You know, back in my day, we came up against some hombres, some tough customers. But I'm going to say, oh, man, because that's tough for me because I tackled a whole lot of dudes. I'm going to say my favorite one to tackle was John Allstott.
Mike.
Tampa Bay. Big old boy.
Yep.
Mike Allstott. I'm sorry. He was the type of guy, man. He ain't gonna give you too many thrills or frills. But when he was back there with Warwick Dunn, oh, my God. There was a 1-2 punch, but I just enjoyed playing against him because he was a big surface to hit. You know what I mean? Like, you know, he ain't got no wiry, short, little itty bitty dude. And Mike Allstott was, but he was a monster though. And the one I just did not want to see at all was Barry Sanders. I don't want to see him. I really don't want to see him. To have, that's just like putting a rabbit in a small area and then trying to catch it.
Right. You were a bigger dude. You know, you still are, but you were a bigger dude. And Barry was like 5'8" and a half. You know, I mean, he was little. Oh, yeah. And
powerful,
and quick.
Though.
And no, I can't imagine it was a lot of fun trying to.
He was powerful. He was quick. He was that dude that. He had that commercial, that Cadillac commercial, and then nobody want to be on that Cadillac commercial. They be looking at him, please. Okay, we can watch the commercial. He was a bad man. I take my hat off to him, man. He's one of the greats of all time. And one day we got to do a top five of baddest running backs.
From your time or from now? Okay.
From all eras. From all eras, and order, but just
all right. Five. Jason wants to know who you think is going to make the biggest impact over the last 6 weeks, and then he's got kind of a question for me.
Biggest impact 6 weeks, man. I think that I'm always stuck with what I always
starts
say:
up front.
Offensive, defensive line. It starts up front, man. If we can keep everybody healthy. on the defensive line, move some guys around, get some beef in there, times to stop the run. I think those guys, them two units, is going to make the biggest impact because everybody's got to ride. I know Aaron Rodgers is the man. We all know he's the man. It's just like I said about John Wayne, the GOAT. We don't put the GOAT in this. We know what the GOAT going to do. We need the other guys, the supporting guys, to really step up and do their job.
Yeah, I think that makes a ton of sense. It's if Aaron Rodgers plays well, is the season going to go better? Of course. But the in-between-the-lines guys need to, you know, have a big finish to the season for the Packers to get where they want to go. I'm with you on that one. And then he also asks, you know, what's going on with MVS. That's just a health thing, guys. You saw the hit that he took in that second-to-last game before Devontae came back, and he gutted it out, honestly, to play against Oakland. And had two catches, but they were both absolute bombs, and he just is not physically 100%. I think this 2 weeks off is going to be a big, big deal for Scantling, especially a guy that relies on his speed in the way that MVS does, because he's a speed guy, and when your lower body isn't right, when your knee or your ankle is not right, that's a – It's a tough thing, you know. I mean, it's not like the things that he relies on, that's an obvious downgrade for him physically, I think. All right.
Yeah.
Chris wants to know if you could take, and it can't be you. The answer is it can't be you. If you could take one guy from your era and put him on the defense, and one guy from your era and put him on the offense, who would it be?
Wow. Well, you got to look at the areas that I think that they would need some type of help in. Defensively, everybody would love to say Reggie. Oh, my God. I mean, but, you know, and you know what? I'm going to say Reggie because Reggie played all up and down the line, all up and down the line. So you put the Smith brothers in there, and you put Reggie in there, you know, on the inside with Kenny Clark, you will murder people.
Reggie, the Smith brothers, and Kenny would be, it would be a problem. Ooh, I don't think there's any question.
Ooh. Oh, my God. Offensively, oh, man. Oh man, you know if you say four, you're in trouble. So we can't put the GOAT in there. So we would have to probably go with the running backs are running pretty good. I'm gonna have to say a receiver, and the receiver I would say would be Antonio.
Yeah, I think
Free.
I think Free would be the other guys I would consider would be Mark and Keith. Those would be the other two that I would maybe look at.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right about that. But I'm trying to keep your boy in the game though. Number 80. I'm trying to keep him in the
Jimmy.
Game.
Jimmy. Talking about. But yeah, that's Jimmy. Those are the two guys that I think would be interesting fits, Mark Chmura and Keith Jackson, of course, who I'm talking about. But yeah, I think Antonio Freeman pairing primetime Antonio Freeman, who was legitimately an all-pro level guy, and you pair him with a guy like Devontae Adams, and I think you really got something there. All right, Gilbert. Last one. Marge wants to know if you want to come with her as her date to a Christmas party. Marge. Yeah, who? Marge wants to know.
Marge. Hey, Marge. I don't know. I mean, I had to get a date. But you got to understand, Mark.
Busy man.
I'm just sitting around here twiddling my thumbs. So, hey, man, I'm busy. Only thing, when is the polar plunge?
In Green Bay?
When is that? Yeah, the polar plunge that I would never do or never attend type thing, because I'm going to make sure I'm busy type thing. But March.
He needs more details. Depends on the date. More details. I understand.
Yeah, I need more details. Right. Yeah. But Ugg, you got to go too.
Nice little 8-hour drive for a company Christmas party. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, all right, guys. Yeah. Gilbert, I want to thank you for your time. I definitely want to take another opportunity to Thank the folks that really make this baby happen, which would be Mark Mayfield with Mayfield Sports Marketing. And again, the Stadium View Bar, Grill, and Banquet Hall. This podcast really is not possible without those two entities. And finally, I want to thank you guys, the fans. You know, we're doing it for you. That's who this is for, certainly. The number one thing that you guys can do for us to help us out right here is to rate us, preferably with 5 stars. Leave a verbal review that helps us pop up in the iTunes rankings, the Stitcher rankings, the Spotify rankings, however you're getting this podcast. We would really appreciate that. We just want more people to listen to it. Thanks, everybody, one more time, and go Pack, go.